They talked about Angela Bassett, and they said that she was a sore loser. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I lose something, I ain't gonna be skinning and grinning.
Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it, cause it's your business. Your business, business. Handle all of your business. Value all of your business. You say you're minding your business. My business.
So Sunday was jam-packed with my favorite intersection. If you follow me on Twitter, you already know it's sports and entertainment. So the Oscars happened on the same day as Selection Sunday. We're going to discuss both, especially this year's $126,000 Oscar gift bag. No cap, no joke, $126,000, and that's a 10% decrease from last year. But also, we're introducing something new because people are going through a lot out there, so we're going to introduce Dear Moco. We have listeners that reach out to us for their thoughts, so we're going to help them and discuss as a crew. And lastly, March Memories. We got two more seasons to go, baby. Let's go! So, hey, Auntie, y'all already know, shouts to Angela Bassett and the whole Wakanda Forever cast who looked amazing at the Oscars. And meanwhile, if you didn't already know that sports runs the world, Denzel and Spike Lee were over there at the Lakers game during Oscars night cutting up. I love to see them too, both diehard fans of their squads. Sports don't stop, as you can see. But we saw a lot of the athletes pull up to the after parties like LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Adonis Creed pulled up. You already know. Again, this week has been a week for business, for entertainment, but it's also been a week for banks because there were three banks that failed. That was Silvergate, Signature, and Silicon Valley Bank. If you've seen SVB, that's what they're talking about, Silicon Valley Bank. So SVB had a bank run that caused billions of dollars to be put into question. But now that we know that the FDIC will insure all the depositors at SVB, and all the depositors, meaning all the people that have put money into the bank, will now at least get their money back. Well, now we're starting to see that there's a lot of mixed reactions on social media, in public. I know that some people are upset about the bailout, but I will say this. I didn't have any personal funds in SVB, but I did have a couple companies in my portfolio that got hit and were absolutely devastated. I was on the calls where people were trying to figure out, like, how is business going to happen? This is, again, before the FDIC said that they were going to insure the money for everyone that deposited. So I would personally be lying if I said I wasn't happy to see that those founders got relief. But having said all that, I'm just going to tell you guys how my week has been, because kids' brains work differently nowadays, okay? So I just watched the Chris Rock special, and there's a lot of discussion about whether it was funny or not. Now, whether I laughed or not, there was something he said that I related with. He said that he identifies as poor, and I couldn't agree more, all right? Like, I definitely identify as poor, and kids, they let me know that I think poor, and let me explain why. So I recently had an RMF basketball academy, and we had a blast. We were playing basketball. We did a shooting game, and I beat all the girls in the shooting game. So I had a blast, and I wanted to do something special at the end. So I gathered them all around, and I'm like, y'all, listen, I have something I want to tell you guys. And I'm all excited, and I'm like, I want to give you all tickets to the Atlanta Dream game. Every single one of you guys can pull up to the Atlanta Dream game. I was so hyped. I was looking around, and do you know what they had the nerve to say to me? They said, will it be courtside seats? And then the other girl was like, oh yeah, I need to be on that hardwood. I was shocked because I identify as poor. I was shocked. But then when I started to think about it, kids think differently because it's different. Like, now we have influencers that are millionaires by the age of 10. We have people that are running their own companies, entrepreneurs. If you've ever been to the Lakers game and you look courtside, you will see that people like Denzel and Spike Lee are sitting beside a couple of entrepreneurs. And so then you start to really realize that, wow, I identify as poor, and kids' brains work differently now. But I'm gonna tell y'all this, period. Don't ask me for no courtside seats. I identify as poor, man. The Oscars happened this past weekend. Everything was going on. Like I told you guys, my favorite intersection is sports and entertainment. And we had all of that happening this past weekend. We had the Oscars that happened on Sunday, Selection Sunday. But any thoughts from y'all on the Oscars? How'd y'all feel? Did you like it? What stood out to you?
Well, let me just start. I did not watch the Oscars. I was watching, I think, the Selection Committee stuff and missed the Oscars. But I always go back because I like to look at the fashion and and who did what. Because after last year, we have to really pay attention. You know what I mean? And so Jimmy Kimmel, he came out there and he did his little thing and made his reference to last year, which made me a little bit more comfortable watching the clips because I really didn't want to see anything like that again. But I liked everything that I from the clips that I saw. But you know, when you look on social media and people start chatting and they talked about Angela Bassett and they said that she was a sore loser. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I lose something, I ain't gonna be skinning and grinning. it'll take me a few minutes for it to soak in.
Right.
Oh, I lost. And so I might not look as happy as I could look for the winner, but I have to get that all together before you stick the microphone up in my face. So at any rate, that's my goal on the Oscars.
I agree.
Snook, you're the same generation as Angela Bassett, so I feel like that's valid because you like, look, I know that we all got cameras and everything, but I just lost on an award that I probably wanted to win. Obviously, if you in it, you want to win it.
The first thing that comes to mind is Angela Bassett still hasn't won an Oscar. That was my first thought. Out of all of her iconic roles, I was like, oh wow, I can't believe that she still hasn't won an Oscar. She's very, you know, well past deserving an Oscar. So I agree with Snook. I felt Angela Bassett and her reaction. I don't know if she, you know, it was just real. It was real. I don't know what the reaction meant, but that was her real thoughts. And she was like, well, you know, like it seemed like if I was inside her mind, it seemed like she said, well, you know, I gave it all I had and this is it. It's okay. Another year. It seemed like she's still not done. She got a lot up her sleeve still left. So that's part of the argument that I don't like to address because people are like, oh, well, she still has a lot of life basically to live and she could still win. But still, so does Jamie Lee Curtis. So does everybody else. But Angela Bassett, the first thing that comes to mind is I can't believe she still hasn't won an Oscar.
Jamie Lee Curtis too, though. I think that was her first Oscar, if I'm not
mistaken.
So
yes.
It's like, that's why my dog Spike Lee and Denzel was at the Laker game because boy, them boys be playing, man, with their little nominations and their little awards, man. Nobody got time for that, man. LeBron don't play tonight.
We already have an idea of what might happen, so it's not too far reaching to think that it's probably still not going to happen. And you know, you say Angela Bassett has a lot of life left to go. Why do you have to go until you're 99 years old before people recognize
that's
you?
That's what I'm saying.
You
know,
right? Stuff that you've been doing.
Well, Roy's been trying to say something. Roy, what you got to say?
Well, we knew coming in it was going to be a 1-2 race between Angela and Jamie, but I mean, it hurts so much. I'm telling you right now, it just hurts so much. They screwed her. And like, I saw both movies, and clearly Angela had the better performance out of the two. Okay. Clearly.
I was going to leave that part out. But that part. I watched both the movies, and let me tell you, the movies were both of them were good.
Yeah, Everything Everywhere All at Once. That won like 7 Oscars.
But that one was a little bit more weird on a weirder side. Now, Jamie Lee Curtis, she did kill the part. I'm not going to take that from her. She killed the part. But it wasn't Oscar worthy.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man, doing that. Don't do that to sis. Look, she had to play.
I feel you, Juju.
She had to play herself. She had to play with the hot dog finger. She had to play a boss. She had to play a villain. She had to learn karate. I mean, I know we wanted Angela Bassett to bring one home, but sis was in the trenches training for that Everywhere All at Once. So.
And so was Angela. Angela, for her age, you can't beat that bod now. Come on.
That ain't got nothing to do with the Oscar.
She looks great.
But I'm just saying with the acting part of it, you know, you have to have the body to go along with the part. You know
definitely
what I mean?
Wakanda is a part of Wakanda is the tribe and how they are warriors. So I'm sure that she did have to be in a certain level of fitness for that role. I could see that.
I think for Jamie Lee Curtis, I think there were other roles that would have been better suited for her to win an Oscar. I'm just saying this was a different role that she's played, but this wasn't her best. I feel like this was like, okay, we got to give her one.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you think it's like a redemption kind of thing, kind of like the same thing as Angela Bassett, how Jamie Lee Curtis has never won one and she's had so many iconic roles, kind of the same thing as Angela, you know, same position as Angela Bassett.
Is this the role that we will remember Jamie Lee Curtis for?
No.
That's kind of how I look at it as in.
Absolutely. No, I forgot that she was even in the movie. To be honest with you,
Is this the role that you will remember Angela Bassett for?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. That is, to that sentiment as well. It's Training Day and it's Swordfish, which I remember Halle Berry for, and Denzel.
No, it was Monsters Ball, wasn't it?
Monsters Ball. Mm-hmm. I remember my boy Malcolm X. You feel me? I remember Sis and Boomerang.
Right, exactly.
I got you. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying for them to say that this was the role they wanted to give it to her for, I'm like, no.
Name another performance she did that's better than this one.
Halloween.
Ooh, putting
well, that's
spot.
Not a. That's just a horror. That's a horror film. I could
I associate her with
Jason like, every damn year for the past 80 years.
I actually associate her with horror films for some reason, actually.
She is the queen of horror.
This is a scream queen.
But it ain't no range in them horror movies besides
that's kind of the point.
You feel me? Sis was doing karate.
She did True Lies. She did True Lies.
She had a whole bunch of True Lies.
She actually, I think that was her one of her better acting.
But who was nominated that year with True Lies? Who else was nominated?
I'm not sure who was nominated. But I'm saying that if you were going to say one of her, then she did a couple other movies. At this moment, it escapes me. But True Lies is one of her like her best acting roles.
So here's the real question then: why do people not win awards when they have their best performances? Like a lot of times Will Smith
because they're doing foolishness like this, because they giving the older people these one-offs because they want to give them one on out the door instead of giving it for what they should. So they're like, oh, Jamie Lee, you know, she's like, how old? Oh, we never gave her one. Let's give her one. Whereas there might be a younger person with a much more deserving role, but because they got to wait their turn because they doing foolishness like this. That's how it works.
I just will say that Will Smith said that The Pursuit of Happiness he thought was his best performance. Like his.
Now who did he get beat by? Exactly.
I don't know. But that's
probably
the
somebody
thing.
Older.
It's like it's interesting to see that the roles that people win awards for aren't necessarily going to be what the world considers their best performances.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's they stuff anyway. This they stuff. Y'all gonna if Renee Montgomery have an award show every week, we can't get mad when she choose Beyonce as the queen every year. It's your award.
And because I
this
just
mind,
okay?
This Oscar Awards. You don't give a damn an Oscar. Don't pull up the Oscar Awards.
So, okay, because this is Oscar's opinion. You right.
I think this goes back to, and I compare it to sports a lot, because it's very subjective, one. And in sports, you always want to play, and you want your game to be refereed correctly, and so the referees get in there and they change it, and sometimes things don't come out like you want. So in the Oscars, it's the same thing. It's very subjective, and these people are looking at you, and
I see
so
what
you have to
there,
go
Snip.
You have to go with what they say. And you know, it might not necessarily be what's right, but that's what you have to
go. It becomes
with.
A waste of time is what it becomes.
This is like Steve Nash winning the MVP over Shaquille O'Neal. That's just what this is.
Okay.
This is like, exactly. Yeah. It's like the Joker winning the MVP the last 2 years, possibly three in front of Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's judging? Yeah. Who's voting? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same situation.
I love it.
Is why we shouldn't be putting everything on it. That's why people probably aren't watching it like they're watching it now. They used to, because everybody just feels like, well, it doesn't actually mean this is your best performance. So whatever y'all choose, we'll see whatever they literally. I didn't even want to know who won what. I just want to see what people had on. It's getting to the point where it's not even about the acting in the movie. It's about the fashion.
No, the fashion is a big, I'm not going to lie. The fashion, how people pull up, even the athletes pulled up to the after party. Shouts to Savannah James. She shut down the internet when she came in the all white. LeBron pulled up
too. Yeah, that's when you see a lot of
the
fashion.
You know, we saw Russell Westbrook, his wife pull up. We saw a lot of the couples pulling up after the game.
Who else we saw?
Who else did we see, Juju?
We saw Ciara in the mother trucker building.
She's outside.
She dropped the single.
The women were out.
Was there much fashion there?
It was a lot of fashion. High fashion.
I mean, she didn't have much on, but it was definitely fashionable. But the women were out.
She must be mad at Russ.
But speaking of the married women, like Sierra, I saw Hailey Bieber out. Like Renee said, Savannah James was out. It seemed like all of the women kind of stepped out solo. All of the married women.
Justin
Bieber was left
night.
At home. LeBron James was left at home.
Right.
I was kind of liking it. I was like, okay, I like that. They said, I want to go to the party. You don't have to go with me, but I still want to go.
Hey, and I like that. So hold on. That is funny you say that. I'm glad that you like that because maybe you should do that. do that. Y'all heard this. I'm so
I'd
glad
like to
we're recording.
Somebody
I want
with
this
me.
Clip. It's like that commercial on the Bring the Rewind back because when I don't be wanting to go out, she be acting like we are a package deal. She be
First of all, nobody likes to go out by themselves. I'm sure they had a friend with them.
No. They definitely had a friend with them. It's just the friend. We don't care about the friend. We cared about them. That's what it was.
Okay, then Kimberly pull up on us.
Well, Kim could go, but then y'all could go out. I think that would be nice.
I don't
want to
go.
Renee doesn't like to go. Hit me up. I'll pull up on you.
Juju's going to be my plus one.
Exactly.
It's nothing new, Sam. Don't feel bad. This has been going on all of her life.
Yeah, I don't
it's
like to
struggle.
Leave the house. Mm-hmm. Listen.
It's a struggle.
She really does.
It's a struggle.
Didn't Gisele Bündchen say something about Tom Brady about that? That they would get invited to all of these things, all of these events, and he would never want to go. And sometimes she would want to go.
Go!
I don't want to go either.
Then go! Listen.
Well, you know, I always wanted to go.
And Snook wants to be at front center
Juju
for
said
everything.
He'll pull up, but listen, I'm going to explain to you guys. I am a homebody. It is a noun. It is a person who likes to stay at home, especially one is perceived as unadventurous. Call me Mrs. Unadventurous, all right? Because I like the vibes at the house. Juju, you've
she
been
works
to the crib.
All the time.
I work all the time, yes. What I do for fun is work on our stuff. Yeah, so I do work on top of work on top of work, but I like this place.
And you know, she works so much. She works so much that, okay, so she recently shot something with and they were doing like a little profile about her.
Like
they were
yet.
Following her around and stuff. And they were like, okay, so what do you like to do for fun? And she literally went blank. She was like, well, work from home. I don't really do anything for fun. You know, it was so hard to find
Renee,
something
you gotta
fun
make
to
up
do.
Something.
Well, first of all, the things that, because they said, like, do you ride bikes or do you do yoga?
No.
And I'm like, whoa. Okay, let's all calm down here. I pull up to the movies. We binge watch here. My friend can pull up here. We had a Super Bowl party here. But they wanted an activity that they wanted to see me doing. And it's like, I just don't participate in those type of
Me
things.
Either.
And so it was like, I had to think of an action item. So it's like, what do I do for fun? I like to binge watch TV and watch movies. I'm into entertainment, but they don't want to film me binge watching TV and going to the movies. So then I had to think of something that they could film. And then I didn't know what to say. What do y'all do for fun that's active? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't do nothing for fun. I ain't had fun since 2018.
You could have said you loved getting together with your family and having competitions.
How often do we do that, Snook? Like, that's not realistic for them to come film yesterday.
Right. It's like an everyday regular activity. She doesn't have like anything fun that she likes to do. It's either work away from home and work from home.
There's a selective amount of people, a handful of people who doing all this hiking and riding, biking, and people working out. I mean, people probably working out is probably the most consistent thing other than just, you know, working and living. I mean, I could say I like being a bus driver. All I do is drive children around all day, but that's not something it's an activity I do, but I don't enjoy it. I mean,
it
gets to be something different.
Like,
it's adulting.
And I'm grinding right now. I'm just going to be for real. Like, I'm like in my grind mode where half of my life is spent in New York because I'm covering March Madness. And then there's a certain portion of that time that's spent at Turner. And then I'm calling NBA games in the metaverse. I got one tonight, which was 2 days ago when you're listening to this, but I'm in my kind of grind mode, so I'm not even actually concerned with having fun. That might sound crazy, but like, I'm not really interested in having fun right now. I'm trying to get there.
She's in grind mode. Yeah, I can attest.
I'm in it. So it's like, then they made me want to pause and start to be like, well, go have fun. And it's like, I ain't done that, like Juju said, since 2018. Like, I have fun at the crib. Like,
all Renee's trying to do is just sit down on the couch and put her feet on the table. That's me nice and having fun.
Yes,
and catch up on the last of us.
Oh, I know what you could have said. You should have had a Scrabble game set up. You do that
quite often. They don't even record me playing Scrabble.
Oh my gosh.
You play Scrabble?
Listen.
Oh, let's get a game going.
We got to move on. All right, we got to move
on.
Well,
let me just say one thing before we move on. I think I said it before about the Academy Awards. I think I got kind of a good inside vision of how things usually turn out with the Academy Awards when I was in college. Uh-huh. And I think I told you that when Lady Sings the Blues went up against Showboat, we had a big party in my room. I was a counselor on college, and we just knew that Diana Ross was going to get the best actress for Lady Sings the Blues, because in my opinion, I saw both then, and I thought she did some acting in that movie. When they announced the winner and they said Liza Minnelli, we were in our room for 3 days and didn't leave, because it really devastated us that people could be so blind. And so ever since then, I've had a bad place in my heart for the Academy Awards.
Snoop was devastated.
So we got to have a more diverse voting committee.
Listen, every other actor, actress that hasn't won, they all got a heart.
Tom Cruise ain't even get nominated for Top Gun. So all this is goofy.
That's true. I still haven't seen that, and I haven't seen the new one, the old one.
It brought the movies back.
It really did.
But listen, we got to move on, okay? Like, we're going to move on because we could talk about the Oscars all day.
Yeah, we're some movie junkies.
We're going to talk real quick about the Oscar swag bags, because I am just so shocked at how much money is inside of these swag bags for this event. All right, so this year's swag bag is valued at $126,000. And when I saw that, I was like, whoa. But then I went and looked at the past swag bags. Let me start at 2019. $176,000. 2020, $261,000. 2022, $235,000. 2023, $126,000. All right, so you guys, just think about that for a second, about how much money is going into these swag bags. And I'm sure your next question is, what in the world?
What's in it?
No.
That's what we want to know.
I know. I want to know.
Well, how big is the bag?
That and the fact is, we know why the amounts are the amounts. In 2020, they only had 5 people in there, so they spent more money on the swag bag, so they only let 5 people in there. And in 2023, they had to pay for that crisis team. So that crisis team knocked down the bag another good $20,000-$30,000. They had to pay people to be there for support.
So Cole, you're actually onto something that does have something to do with it on the different years. They said, but also since 2002, there was an LA-based marketing company called Distinctive Assets that distributed out the unofficial 6-figure Everybody Wins gift bag to the Oscar nominees in the 4 main acting categories. So just remember, it's not for everybody. It's for the acting nominees in the 4 main categories, as well as Best Director. All right, so this founder, he said the thing about his bags are, obviously, and this is a quote, obviously the nominees can afford to go where they want, says Ferry. It's not about the fact that this is free. It's about the fact that we found a unique place that's built in privacy for the celebrities. So they have things in their swag bags like, let's see, the one
a trip to Santa Lucia.
There you go. There you go. So this is where we're starting to get into the things inside the swag bags. Plastic surgery is on the table, okay?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because everybody needs a butt.
Distinctive assets.
What?
Clip that, Danny.
Well, speaking of, since we talked about it last week, we talked about Black China. She's actually removing from her butt and from her boob. She's getting removed, as well as I think there's a couple other people that are doing the same thing for health reasons. Just a side note.
Because they're melting. They're melting.
Yeah, she said they're
the
really
top,
dangerous.
They're melting at the bottom. They're melting on their face. They're melting everywhere.
Gosh.
So, I mean, seriously, we knew this was going to happen. And but see, here's the problem. You have people like Black China. You have all these people who can afford to have all this surgery to correct. I call them botched surgeries. All these botched surgeries where they correct and take out and reshape and reframe. And then you got little old people like me who barely took their 2-3 years worth of savings, went down somewhere, put something in there, man and then almost on their deathbed because they can't afford to get taken out unless they're on their deathbed. They go to the emergency room and they say, we're going to have to remove this today.
I can't believe you're this passionate about this, Cole.
Because you know why? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what pushed that to the forefront of my mind is you had people going to Mexico. Four people went to Mexico, one person to get type of surgery done. She had to go all the way down there to get it.
I took my name off the list after that.
Snuck. Mom. two people pass away. And one of the guys said he didn't even want to go. He was just going for his, you know, his girl's support, whatever, family member for support, whoever she was to him, support.
Mom, you are terrible.
Snuck, do you know that we, Snuck can't be for real because I know where Cole is going with this and Snuck is not for real.
So my point is that it pushes it to the forefront because you have these people going to other countries who can't afford these surgeries and they're having bad complications, dying, almost dying to even get the surgery. And so I feel like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen, but the people who are celebrities who can afford to do it, I don't care if you want to do it. You do it if you want to. I just feel bad for the ones who feel like they have to do it to be someone and they have an adverse effect. So
no, you're right.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody does it. Maybe some people do it to look good, not in clothes, but some people do it to look good in clothes. And so, you know, you have to kind of weigh the options there.
You're not talking about the people who are putting that fix-a-flat tire slime into their, you know, into the assets,
Lord,
I should say.
Lord have mercy.
Well, we're saying on all levels.
It's like the iPhone. The iPhone 2 came out and hey, a lot of folks jumped and bit at the iPhone 2. But then the iPhone 7 came out. They were like, dang, I bought that 2. But this time that 2 in your ass. So it's like, dang, well, how you correct it? So my thoughts and prayers to everybody who got the iPhone 2 booty. Like, you was really awesome. You feel me? You was
Danny
up to
that.
It.
Danny clipped that.
He's been with thoughts and prayers, man. Everybody with an iPhone 4 booty.
Are y'all finished or are y'all done? All right. Like, no,
that 13 is out now.
That's the one I'm trying to get.
Hello.
Found you, Miss New Booty.
All right.
So listen, back to what was in the swag bag. I'm about done with this already. Basically, there was a 3-day trip. You could go to Canada. There was a little resort place. They give you two cars, a 965 Shelby AC Cobra.
What?
A 427 Roadster and a 2023 McLaren are there.
Wow.
Yeah, those cars are there waiting on you. If you, yes, this is in the swag bag. You get a 3-day trip. They got those cars waiting on you. There's also...
Wait a minute, are those cars theirs to keep?
Not to keep. They're just there for the 3 days.
They're with the property.
Part of the property that you can use and, you know, get your photo shoot on, get your video shoot on, or just drive around town.
That's how they
But all the gifts don't have to be expensive. There's some gifts that goes with causes. There's coconut water that's in there. There's exclusive chocolate that's in there. There's different things. It's not all about price. The guy said it's about what's the best feel for the package. But I'm going to move on because I don't even know how we got to
sign
Miss New
me
Movie.
Up for some acting lessons then if
okay.
That's what the bag
you got
that
exactly
okay.
See, that's what we need to be doing.
Hey, you know, speaking of that, really quick, you know, there was one of the ladies in Wakanda, or in Black Panther the movie, she was 93 years old in my acting class, and the first role that she ever got casted for was for one of the royal court people in Wakanda
Black Panther movie. Crazy is that.
Yes, nice. She was all over the news and everything. And I was like, oh my God, that's a lady from my acting class. She literally started taking it at like 93 years old.
That's
nice.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Never too late.
There's still
Never
hope.
Too late.
Still hope.
Coming up next, we have Dear Moco. And I'm going to ask, it's kind of touchy, but... how much money is too much money to spend on self-care? Oh, wait, we talk about it next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coco, y'all might not know this, but people value our thoughts and our opinions so much so that people write emails to our info page and different things of that nature. And this one really stood out to me because I thought it was interesting. And also, we're going to start doing this, by the way, you guys. So if you guys are in a situation, we know life is a lot. We got a lot of different generations sitting right here on this call, different people that came from different backgrounds. Hit us up, Dear Mocha, because we're going to do exactly what we're about to do right now. This is what I received. It's pretty quick, simple. Okay, so me and my partner have a bank account together, of course, to pay our bills, to pay our mortgage. We live together. But recently, there's been $200 here or there every month that keeps going missing. And when I ask what he spent it on, he says self-care and he doesn't want to talk about it.
What?
Yeah, break up.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, that's a breakup right there. Y'all are living together.
Strike three.
No, it's over. Over.
I mean, we living together? No. That's our money now.
You got to at least have a better excuse than that. Ain't no damn, I don't want to talk about it. Excuse me, sir.
But it's for his self-care. So wait, y'all are skipping over a very big part. Self-care is a real thing. And if he's like, I don't necessarily want to talk about it, but it's for my self-care. Y'all don't care about his self-care?
Nope. You know what else self-care? His wife.
Yeah.
That's self-care. Keep her happy.
Yeah, we can take care of you. What self-care do you need?
That man's probably going to Magic City. He's not spending that money on wings.
Exactly. And not in the lemon. Right. No lemon pepper losing that building.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you threw me off when you said he, because I'm like, he? I thought it was going to be the right. woman spending
no, he's
the $200.
He said he's working on himself, so.
That's it. That's...
He yeah, cheating.
Nah, there's something, yeah. something going on. Yeah. There's something going on.
I just
there.
Have a question. So here's my thing, because I don't think they've delved into this enough. If I can't visibly see your self-care, like if you don't come in with your eyebrows manscaped and your haircut line every
he
single time and your
mentals?
Jawbone is squared up. Well, then, I mean, if he's working on his mentals, then that shouldn't be a secret.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Going to go see the psychiatrist, and it should be going through our insurance company. We should be seeing something off of that copay. Mm-hmm. So that's that. I would know that. So this $200 is what are we doing with it?
Day shift.
Exactly.
Day shift.
Nah, man. With $200 a month, that man better be coming out looking like Jonathan Majors.
I mean, exactly. It's funny because when I heard self-care, I didn't actually think physical. I instantly thought mental when I saw self-care. So I actually thought I was bringing in a mental conversation. You know, self-care could be getting your haircut, you know, like a lot of, who was it? Jason? No, who just had a podcast that was out? Paul George said, of course you got to pay your barber a minimum of $100 for a haircut. Come on now.
Don't nobody want to hear Paul George. Here, that, no, exactly. Paul George, salute to you, brother. But we don't want to hear about you on that. Your contract worth .. You feel me? Don't do that. I got a hot ass $4 in my pocket right now.
That contract right has now. Two commas in it. Two commas.
Exactly.
Your .. You right. I mean, he's right. You know what? And it's okay to spend $200. If you say, okay, I need $200 because I like to go out with my boys on whatever, and that's my mental health, my self-care. Is me getting away, having a couple drinks with my friends. And if you do that once a month, that's easily $200 if you want to do drinks and maybe appetizers. So I get that, but just say that. I don't understand what the whole secrecy is.
That's what
of
I'm
it.
Saying. Like, why not talk about it, right? That's the part also. Why not talk about it?
Yeah, well, do guys talk about self-care? I feel like, is that like the...
Yes, we do. If we got a girlfriend.
It's not about the self-care.
That's what
it's
is.
It's about the money.
It's the, I don't want to talk about it for me. Like, boy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, listen up. They be like, oh, shit, I like going to the strip club every month, once a month. Please, can I just get that for myself, baby?
That's what I'm saying. Just be upfront. Just be right. real. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
like
what
that.
I'm saying.
I like that honesty.
How does that invigorate you? What does it do for you?
No, I'm talking about this brother. I'm talking about this brother. Nah, me, nah, I'm good. I'm at the house.
Yeah, he was giving an example.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's the whole point. That's the question that he needs to answer. It's like, I don't care what you're doing. If you say it to me once, you don't have to say it again. But at least I need to know. Like,
because maybe he doesn't want to have a conversation. Like, I don't want you to ask me how my self-care went, Or he don't want you to ask him how his night went.
I don't need you hanging over my shoulder.
If I go out with the boys, don't ask no questions. Like, that's
probably... That's
not it. Wait a minute. I said once a month, if you say you spend $200 once a month, and you say it's because me and my boys go out, we have a couple drinks, that's easily $200. And $200 is not a make it or break it situation for a relationship, but the secrecy is.
That's what he's trying to say. That's the part that y'all are missing, but I don't want to talk about it. It's like, if I'm going out once a month with my boys, you already know, so don't ask about it.
I don't know.
Well, it's easy for women now because they have that thing they put on your phone where they can know where you are at any point in time.
My whole family
I just heard somebody was tracking my husband, you know?
AirTags.
No, not AirTags. We was tracking him on Find My iPhone. We knew where he was at.
Of course, he in family. That's legal.
To answer your question, look, it don't invigorate me at all. That's why I challenge all the listeners out there. If you got a picture or a memory of ever seeing me in the strip club, tag the show and you got $100 coming your way because I don't even go that way. You feel me?
And that's an Easter
Danny Clark that.
Those strippers, they got more money than me. So what the hell I look like going to the strip club throwing my little feelings at them? What she make? $4,000 a night. What she want that hot ass $30?
No, but hold on. But what is the verdict? What advice are we?
He's wrong.
I'm gonna just sum it up from what I've heard from the crew and adding a little bit of my thoughts. The problem is not with the self-care or the $200, my dear. The problem is that your partner doesn't want to discuss with you what it's for. So I think we're all in agreement that getting a little self-care here or there ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, that's what's up. Take care of you. You got to be the best you, to be the best you for her. Or him.
And Juju and I, our advice is break up with him.
Oh, yeah.
And
then, break now. Stop yesterday.
I say have a conversation. Sit down. And, you know, people got to set their boundaries. If they're living together, there's certain boundaries that you got to set for each other and certain things that are not passable. And if you guys are living together, and I think that some stuff like secrecy.
Well, yeah, because
really
next time I go out, babe, don't ask me nothing about it. Like, I like that this is what people are out here doing.
Right.
Because this is what folks is out here.
Where you going?
I like to hear how other people are living because I be thinking if I was ever in that scenario, it's a comedy. That question is a comedy. If I said to Serena,
that's what I'm saying.
Don't ask me. Look at her. If I said to that woman sitting right there, I'm going out with Lisa, mm-mm, and don't ask me nothing else about it. It's for...
Then she gonna call me, and I'll be like, if you walk out there, and I'm gonna call Lisa, and be like, Lisa, if you take her out that door, we gonna have a bigger problem. You have a bigger problem than just her.
I'm like, oh, your sister went crazy.
She lost her by telling you.
Nah, Serena changed her name to Lisa.
You gotta come get her.
My brother or my sister, whoever you are out there, at least do this. Say, okay, cool. $200 for me once a month as well, and don't ask me what I'm got going on. Salute to Jamie Foxx. But see how that go over on his ass.
All right. So dear Moco, y'all. All right, so that was Dear Moco. If you are in a situation that you want to hear our thoughts about, as you can see, we give advice all over the map. You can pick who to listen to. Send it in. DM us. Send us a message. Whatever you want to do. That's what's up. And we're going to be right back with some March memories. Snooka Book is going to talk about my junior and senior year. Let's go.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sauce.
Okay, you want a good game?
Oh, look at this. Come on, Ray Allen.
Oh, UConn, yo.
Exactly. Yo move, Snook.
Let's go. Pull out my championship 2009.
I'm putting mine up.
Let me pull out the hat that I put on when it happened, okay?
I'm putting mine up.
In the room where it happened. All right, so let's get into it. Let's go. As you guys can see, we talking March memories. If you didn't listen to last episode, go back and listen. We covered my freshman and sophomore year. And now we're going to get into the things that stood out on my junior and senior year, because the reason that I'm having Snook kind of lead the way is because she remembers things completely different than I remember them, because I'm in the moment. I'm locked in on scouting reports. I'm locked in on my assignment. I'm locked in on my plays. What do I need to do? How's my body feeling? And I might miss some of the other things. And I also might just forget what happened in the game because I'm worried about the next play. So Snookabooka, what happened my junior year that stood out to you?
I think you mentioned it before. It's a given that when you go to UConn, you're expecting to win a championship. And so now we're down to the junior year, and we haven't been successful
Losers.
In the first 2 years. So the heat is on. and we had a really good year that year, and we ended up going to the Final Four that year instead of the Elite Eight the previous 2 years. And so we went to Tampa, Florida, and Nicole flew in.
I think the whole
squad was there.
Because we were going to be there for the big dance and the party. And so several things happened that year. First of all, Renee was selected as an All-American for the first time. And so we got a really big kick out of that. That was before the actual final game. And so we were in a celebratory mood then.
They were. I'm going to tell you right now, they were, because I definitely couldn't have been, because I was still worried on, we got the phase one now. Finally, we at the Final Four. But go ahead, Snook.
We're down there, and we win our first, all of our tournament games down to the final game. And what was strange about this game is that we've always been a little bit afraid of Stanford, not because of the skills that their team had, but that size. That size was hard to beat from, you know, 1 to 5. They were big from 1 to 5. And so we knew that was going to be a challenge. And so we gave it our best shot. We played hard, and we lost that game 71-82. So that was not a real happy period for us. But again, we did have some good takeaways.
When I think about how we matched up, I didn't really care about their size, because we had Tina Charles and Callie McLaren, and we had some dogs on our side. The thing about it is, though, Stanford, there's a lot of teams that aren't as disciplined as us at that time. Like, we were militant. Like, when I tell you, it's like, I know where Mama gonna be. I know where TT gonna be. I ain't even gotta look. It's like, we were that much practice that we kind of were the most disciplined team. But then there was Stanford, who also had this crazy high level of discipline. So we knew it was going to be a chess match. Honestly, look at the coaches that were coaching, look at the players. That's when Candace Wiggins was there and all of them. So they had a squad.
And in her junior years, when they established the big three, Maya Moore, Tina Charles, and Renee Montgomery, they were considered the big three for UConn. So
I'd like to hear it from Snook's point of view, because Renee never tells me these things. Renee doesn't like to talk about her accomplishments. So this is nice to hear.
From the moment we lost to Stanford till the senior year started, everybody on our team literally became psychotic. And I mean in the best way possible, like psychotic, obsessive, whatever word you want to use for athletes that don't know that off switch. You know, they call it the Mamba mentality, like Kobe kind of coined it, because his whole career, he was on the on switch. Who does that? That's wild. But this year, in between my junior year and the start of my senior year, and I'm talking preseason and all of that, I recently was at UConn for Women's Weekend, and I literally gave my whole talk, everything I talked about was about that junior, the end of that junior year to when the senior year started, because I've never been that disciplined in my life, even still to date. I've never had an off season like that in my life. I've never been on a team to date, and I've been on other championship teams, but I've never been on a team that had from top to bottom, every single person as locked in on the same goal, on the same mission, was as disciplined, sacrificed. Like, I mean, it was only my senior year, but to have the seniors, Tina Charles was a junior when I was a senior. Maya Moore was a sophomore when I was a senior. So they still had other opportunities, but it was the craziest part of my life. We called it getting that 2%. We had preseason wars where, you know, like we were doing training that I'm telling you, special forces that shows on TV, we could have been up in there. I'm not saying we could have done it, but we could have been up in there. But that series of my life pretty much defined my life on like how to be 2% better than every other athlete, that 2% difference effort, because only 2% of athletes go pro.
What you're saying is that is it all starts with your mentality, basically. If you want to win, you gotta have that mentality. You gotta train your mind. That's gonna train your body. It's gonna train everything. Because like you said, it started in that
offseason. It was that offseason. It was like we were a completely different team. Like after we lost, it was like that was it. Like everybody was kind of like, man, this is crazy. Like we lost in the Elite Eight, Final Four. We finally got to the Final Four and then we got bounced out right away again. Like, we was just like, we was tired of losing. Like, I was like, nah, I'm like, we are tired of losing. It was like the craziest thing. And then that period of my life taught me how to be a certain level of discipline that now, as we just mentioned, I don't even know how to have fun no more. Like, I know how to get stuff done, though. I can tell you that. Like, I know how to get it done. But, yeah, so that was that period of my life.
The 2009 season was the do or die season, as Renee just mentioned. And I thought it was so admirable that the press and everyone were kind of on board, and they were letting them know at every turn and every article, man, is this team going to let somebody get out of here and not have a championship at UConn? And that was the state that Renee was in. Was she going to leave UConn without that glorified championship? So as she said, everybody was focused and tuned in. I remember at one of the press conferences they had, they were talking to Gino, and he was saying, yeah, he was riding, you know, he was heading it up, riding. And Renee said, yeah, and I'm riding shotgun this year. So she was letting them know that she was going to try to make sure that she got that championship. And he kind of stressed, too, in all of his press conferences that, you know, this team needed to do this for Renee. He really put the iron to him about, you know, doing everything they could to be as good as they could be to get this championship.
I like how Snooks refers to the coach Gino Auriemma as just Gino.
She's like, I mean, he's family.
Her homie. Yeah. Like, that's Coach Auriemma.
Coachy.
Yeah. We had a good relationship.
Right. Snooks had to trust her baby with Gino.
Gino. He came to West Virginia to talk to us about Renee. So we had a good relationship with
the
Gino.
Legendary coach. That's amazing. Legendary, yeah. I love that.
So the season started out great. They were rolling. And you know, that was their undefeated season. So
spoiler alert.
Every game became more pressure because I'm undefeated. Like, in the beginning is not such a big deal, but when you get down to like near the Big East tournament, you know, and all of that, and you're still undefeated, you get a little bit queasy because you're always worried, will this be the game that causes me my first L in the column?
Yeah, and really this was, I'm gonna tell you my thoughts. It's like, all right, we're undefeated. There's a lot of games, like at UConn, I think that they just told me at CBS, we lost 11 total games my whole UConn career, right? So it doesn't seem like a lot of games when you look at other schools and how many games they lose. Some schools lose 11 games in one season, but 11 games for UConn, now you can hear how it's not about how many games you lose. It's like which game you lose. So imagine us going undefeated. And then you hit that March Madness where it's the wild, wild west. The Cinderella's ready to dance and all this other stuff. And you can't lose that first game after going undefeated all season. So that's kind of like my thought process on like, Lord, like, all right, this undefeated stuff is cool and all, but don't nobody care? Like, don't nobody care if you lose the wrong game? So
I got sick of hearing, you know, they're beating everybody by 50. I heard a lot of hateration, a lot of crying, a lot of whining, because Renee and them was going out there and putting the pedal to the metal and beating teams by 55. And they were just like, what's the purpose of watching the games? And I was like, well, don't watch them then. We still gonna win. Regardless if you turn TV on or not, this tail whip about to happen. So I remember them winning. I was happy about being undefeated. But that was the biggest bunch of crying I have ever heard about a season. I mean, it was almost like the Patriots type crying, like they win every year. And I'm gonna tell you, I was a Patriots crier until that year Renee and then was beating everybody by 50. And I was like, I will never cry about the Patriots again, because this is annoying. It's annoying. So, you know, say so it's a well-deserved team. They're winning. What you mad about? So then that changed my whole perspective about being a hater, because the networks, the teams, the fans, yeah, the parents, the coaches, and, you know, and then everybody want to do an investigation. Something's going on. How are they doing this? And how are they doing? How can a team that lost last year beat every team by 50? Because they wanted to.
You know, it's funny you bring up something too, Cole, where, like, so my senior year started the streak. So everybody knows about the UConn streak, where UConn didn't lose a game for, like, I can't even remember how many games. But, well, my senior year started the streak. And that's where the conversation, to Cole's point, began of, is UConn good for women's basketball? A lot of people started to ask the question, like, is one team being so good or dominating so much, is that good for the sport? We know now that there's so much parity. You have these markets that are huge in women's college basketball, the Iowas of the world selling out on college game day with Caitlin Clark. And then you have Notre Dame who's holding it down. We obviously know South Carolina is a monster house. And then you still have the UConns who are powerhouses as well. So my senior year started that whole streak of, I think, 3 years or four or how many ever years where they didn't lose. And yeah, that began that conversation of, is that good for women's basketball?
Well, Coach said it. He said, y'all see me play. I've been playing the same way since I started. I do the same thing. We don't do anything different. He was like, they had to do something different. He wasn't going to change his game so the air boss can catch up. He was saying the air boss had to do something different to get there. So I was just like, yeah, stop the whining. So what? We beat you by 50. Let's move it on. So that was the year I remember a lot of whining,
a lot of cheering, a lot of hating. Things different. But Snook, let's get to the senior year real quick so we could get through that. But it's funny how y'all do remember, everybody remembers different things.
Great season, undefeated, as we said. And Renee had two great games in one of those. And listen, let me thank our crew for finding that clip last time of her at the Duke game.
Yes. Shout out to Thomas.
It brought back such memories, because I remembered exactly how it occurred. But anyway, during her senior season, she had good games, but had a great game at North Carolina that year. And I think the sports writer for the Harvard Courant, his name is evading me right now. But anyway, he had a great clip and said if Renee had been a man that night, she would have graduated and been a first round draft pick and had drove away with $5 million, you know, been all, you know, or whatever, because it was a great game. And they played at North Carolina. She had 30 points. I can't remember the rest of the stats, but it was a great game. And they had some great clips from that. And she also had a great game now toward the end with Arizona State University. And that was
Brian January, isn't it? That's Brian January in their squad. Yeah, that was a crazy year. That was also the year where Coach Ariema and the whole UConn staff and team, they all conspired against me to not tell me that I was going into the Huskies of Honor and that I was going to be the first player to get inducted into the Huskies of Honor while I was playing. So that's like one of my biggest memories from my senior year, because that happened on,
it was the pink game.
The pink game versus Pittsburgh with Shavonte Zellis.
It's so crazy how they remember every detail.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so I just remember my senior year that Coach Ariema, like, you know, to have me be the first player to be inducted into the Huskies Hall of Fame with all these other names, Swin Cash, Rebecca Lobo, Diana Taurasi, all of them. Like, and then while I'm still playing, that is definitely one of the remembers.
Well, let me just tell you a real quick story about that. So Gino called here and said that he wanted to surprise Renee with this banner, and he didn't want her to know. He said, because she's so nosy, she tries to find out everything. And so he said someone won't be calling us to get it set up. And so anyway, they put a black cloth over top of it. They installed it and they hung a big cloth up there over it. And so Renee is calling me and saying, do you know what this is all about? And she said, people are saying, asking her, the reporters, does she know anything about it? And she said, no. So anyway, she was so shocked in that game when she looked around and her entire family was there, because she had called that morning. It was on a Sunday, because she knows we go to church on Sunday. And she had called to see if we were at the house. She knew we weren't coming to that game. So maybe we didn't know what was going on, because she said she was bombarded about questions about what was under that black cloth. And so she said, oh, it's not us, because they would have let me know so my parents would be there. But at any rate, right after I hung up from her, we was headed to the airport and we flew in.
Crazy. Flew in
that day. And she had no idea. She was just so shocked. Matter of fact, when they unveiled it, she turned around to Coach Ariema and said, you should have told me, because I would have told my family so they could be here.
He said, turn around. And I was like, what? And then the whole family started walking back.
It was different states of family. It was West Virginia, Maryland,
it was D.C.
Everybody that came through. So that's kind of what I remember my senior year. Wow. As you guys know, we went on to win a championship. We played Louisville, another Big East team.
First time is two teams in the same conference
in
the women's game had played each other.
Yeah, so we played Louisville, who was our Big East.
And then that Angel McCautry.
And then Angel McCautry and I both graduated that year. She was our number one draft pick of my class. I was the number four pick. And the rest was history. That is our March memories.
And after all of that was over and they won, the biggest highlight of all was we got to meet President Obama.
Oh,
We got to go meet President Obama. That was really like, whoa.
I want to hear about this. You got to tell us about that next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to save that for another day. Okay? We're going to talk about how Snoop got flagged by the Secret Service and wasn't allowed to go into the White House. This really happened. We'll talk about it next time.
So now that's Disney and the White House.
I'm going to tell you, Snook must have a past life that we don't know about, because folks is flagging her, man. But I digress. May the odds be ever in your favor to all the college athletes that's hitting up March Madness right now. March Madness, we all know we're talking about it, and as fans, we're all excited. But there's only going to be one men's team that wins and one women's team that wins. So that's a lot of different losers that we're going to see. People that are going to be set. And no, I'm not calling you guys losers. I'm saying I was a loser for 3 years because I didn't win. But I digress. I just want to say, may the odds be ever in your favor, because I remember that energy. I remember that feeling of, I can't wait till I'm done with media. I can't wait till I'm done with practice. I can't wait till I'm done with all of these things so I can get to the game and play. So one word of advice is to just take it all in, because the tournament is like nothing else. It's no feeling like it. That's why we call it March Madness. And as y'all know, here at MoCo, it's a generational thing, and so is winning. So may the odds be ever in your favor.